I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hi, and welcome to the Dirtbag Baseball Talk Show here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network, Dirtbag Nation. Great to have you back again with us this week. I apologize for being away last week, but thanks to Braden and Nolan for picking up my slack and carrying on with the show. So hopefully you're off to a great new year, and Nolan and I are excited to be here as always, even though it's a slow off season in our minds. And I know from a lot of the feedback from all you listeners out there that it's, discouraging, I think, really overall. And I say overall, not in short doses, not in small doses, but the off season to this point and stuff like that. So we're going to talk about that, obviously, because it needs to be talked about. There's obviously an underlying issue, and certainly, you know what, it's important to be talking about that type of stuff. So that'll be one part of the show. Obviously, the curtain call question and everything else that goes with it. But as always, before we get going with it, we do want to give our shout out to sponsors and supporters over at the Rip Grip Pro. That's ripgrippro.com. Trust Sullivan and his team. You can contact me about that. You can reach out to them to find out more about their training, hitting training product. And great little tool. There's no question about it. So if you have it, you know what I mean. If you don't have it, look into it. And of course, our friends over at the Rope Trainer, you can go right to our website at dirtbagbaseballnation.com and get your hands on a rope trainer for yourself as a player, your son, daughter, team, whoever you want to. Again, if you need to find out more information on that, by all means, reach out to me on Facebook or Instagram at Dirtbag Baseball Nation, or you can contact me by email, kirk@dirtbagbaseballnation.com. Happy to talk all day about that product and why we believe in it, have since 2017, and more importantly, why John Smoltz, MLB Hall of Famer, also strong supporter of it. So anyways, wherever you are out there listening, we hope you've had a great week, a dirty week, as a player, a coach, a parent, or just a fan. So we're excited about it, like I said at the top of the show. So sit back, settle in, get that favorite drink. We're going to get going here, and I don't often do it, but I will do it today. If you're interested in being a guest on our YouTube channel with Dirtbag Baseball Talk, reach out to me. Again, you can get in touch with me directly on Instagram or Facebook at Dirtbag Baseball Nation. If you haven't started subscribing to us and follow us, we encourage you to do that. Again, it's at Dirtbag Baseball Nation on YouTube. Love to have you watch and love to have you following around. So settle in, sit back. We're going to be right back here in a second. We're excited to get up, get after it, get dirty.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
For the second consecutive year, Kia America will support St. Jude Children's Research Hospital with a donation for each new eligible Kia vehicle sold or leased and delivered in the U.S. between November 16, 2023 and January 2, 2024. The minimum $1.5 million donation is part of Kia's ongoing commitment to St. Jude through its Accelerate the Good charitable initiative. Last year, Kia donated $1.35 million and was named the 2023 St. Jude New Corporate Partner of the Year. Russell Wager, Vice President, Marketing.
Kia
is proud to once again partner with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital to drive awareness of their all-important mission and provide funds to help children who are our future have a better chance of realizing their dreams by receiving world-class care.
Since 2019, Kia has donated more than $22 million to causes which include treating childhood illness, helping to fight hunger and homelessness, and relief for victims of natural disasters. For more information on how to donate, please visit stjude.org. Sponsored by Kia America.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
Staples and HP want you to have a happy holla-deal. That's right, holla-deal. Now, during Staples holla-deals, you can save up to $115 on the HP Smart Tank 6001 all-in-one printer with up to 2 years of original HP ink right in the box. Plus, find savings of up to 40% on select HP computers and monitors. Happy holla-deals from Staples and HP, America's most trusted printer brand. Smart Tank offer ends 12/23. HP Tech offers end 1/6/24. Visit staples.com/HP for details.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Well, looks like your luggage is over 50 pounds. Is there anything you can take out?
Oh, yeah. Let me just toss all these $20 bills.
Great. Let me grab you a trash can.
Stop. Instead of throwing money away, move some clothes into a carry-on. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. Nolan, where do you want to lead us off?
Yeah, let's start out with the free agent signings from the past week. Obviously, you got Harrison Bader to the New York Mets. 1 year, $10.5 million. That one, don't mind it. Not overly huge on it. It seems like a lot of the free agents this season, or offseason, I guess, are signing for a heck of a lot more than kind of what they should be getting. Like Harrison Bader, I think he's a good outfielder. Nothing fancy. I mean, obviously, having watched him as a Cardinals fan, fantastic defensive center fielder. He's right up there with Kevin Kiermaier. I mean, obviously, his contract is right in line with Kiermaier's. That would be basically the best comp that you could make for the two of them. Unfortunately, injuries are part of his game, and that's something that the New York Mets are going to have to deal with this year. When healthy, though, like I said, hey, he's one of the best defensive center fielders in all the game.
Yeah, I guess to team up with the Polar Bear, right, back from the Florida Gator days. I'm just like you on that. I hope it works out for the Mets. I hope it works out for Harrison Bader. He's a good player. He's a quiet player. He goes about his business. Not the type of guy that he plays hard, right? So I think that's part of the injuries that he has. But I just hope it. I hope it works out. And 1 year deal, good way both ways. Comes back, has a great year, stays on the field for what, 130 plus, maybe 120 plus. Yeah, probably a good contract at the end of the day.
Yeah, if he can do 130 plus games, that'd be generous for him.
Yeah,
he'll probably be about 105 to 110, somewhere in that range. But either way, yeah, exactly. So jumping over now, you got the Colorado Rockies making a couple moves. Dakota Hudson and Jacob Stallings, both 1 year, $1.5 million deals. Obviously, Dakota Hudson, kind of a tumultuous career with the Cardinals, being a former first-round pick. Good sinker baller, so, I mean, that might play well for him in Colorado, but obviously a guy that doesn't throw for high velocity. It's going to be interesting to see how he uses that. Obviously, in Colorado, you need the ground balls. I mean, that's a homer dome at its finest. But Jacob Stallings, that's a good pickup, man. He's a very solid catcher. He'll be their number two behind Diaz. In my opinion, one of the better defensive catchers in baseball. Obviously, had a good stint with the Pittsburgh Pirates before going over to the Miami Marlins last year, helping them get to the playoffs. And then, yeah, this year, obviously, going to the Colorado Rockies, I think that that's a good move. I mean, yeah, they're fine signings, let's be honest. Colorado, they're just trying to make a move, I think, before they sign the Matt Chapman that I've been predicting since the offseason starting.
Yeah, I'm right there with you or whatever. What do you do if you're the Colorado Rockies, right? They're not like the Arizona Diamondbacks where they got horses in the minor leagues that are going to come up and all of a sudden propel them right into even contention, let alone possibility of a World Series appearance or whatever. So, you know, quiet little signings, the Cal Quantrill arbitration that you'll talk about, they got that done today or yesterday, earlier pickup from the Guardians. Exactly. What do you do if you're Colorado right now? You got to get Chris Bryant figured out and try to get him on the field healthy. They got some nice little pieces there. You're right. I think hopefully they work out those deals, give them some, I don't even know what you want to call it on those signings. Stability, maybe?
Indicators.
Yeah, like, it's just a disarray. I mean, when you're battling in that NL West. So, anyways, they're not sitting on their hands, so good for them.
The Mets, Sean Manaea, two-year, $28 million deal. That one, kind of same boat. I mean, he's going to slide in as probably number four or five there. Obviously, a guy looking to bounce back, get back on track, like he did with his Oakland Athletics days. Yeah, he's an interesting signing, obviously a lefty. His stuff plays well enough that I think as long as he's healthy, he should be good for right around a 4 ERA. I think, yeah, he's going to come in there. He'll be a nice piece, obviously. He's a guy, yeah, like I said, he needs to get healthy, and if he can bounce back to his Oakland Athletic days, then I think it's a great signing.
Yeah, he finished the season a lot better than he started, a lot better than the previous few years. You know, you're right. He's settling in maybe as a 3-4 pitcher right now or whatever. He goes out and gets his business done like he talked about doing last year with the Padres, realizing now, hey, if I want to be a true major league stud, true major league player, I got to get my head right. I got to get my body right. I got to get this understanding of what it means to be a professional baseball player at the MLB level. He's got all the tools. He's got all the pieces. I like it for the Mets because of where they are behind Philadelphia and Atlanta right now. So it has the opportunity to be maybe slide up to the number two guy. Again, I'm talking this year. I expect Steve Cohen to make moves next year to deepen that pitching staff and take the next move forward to compete against the Philadelphia Phillies and the Braves. But it's a nice little two-year contract.
Then you got the Chicago Cubs jumping in, making their first major league offseason signing with Shota Umaga. Obviously, one of the highly touted Japanese pitchers that came over this offseason. Right now, the contract terms are not yet official. Basically, what I'm reading from John Heyman is that the deal is 2 years, $30 million, with escalator clauses, team options, player options that could boost the total value to approximately $80 million. Don't know what the term's over, but he's undergoing a physical today right around now, actually, and then basically his deadline is officially tomorrow at 5 p.m. So as long as the physical goes fine, then he will be signed and will be officially a Chicago Cub.
Yeah, it's another one of those interesting signings that we talked about off air, right? Has a potential to be, what, $80 million they're projecting? But it's 2 years at, what, 30, you said, I think it was? Yeah, I don't know enough about it yet. I guess I got to wait and see the final details. Maybe talk about it a little bit more next week when we have more information on the whole thing. But again, just another weird sort of a contract, and we've seen a few of those this offseason. So we're going to talk about that more in the second episode here on tonight's show. But you know what? At least the Cubs doing it. There had to be something that they didn't like with Stroman.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe too much money he was wanting straight up. He didn't want to fool around.
I mean, right now, obviously, Stroman, like you said off air to me there earlier today, Stroman kicked the buckets with the
Yankees.
Kicked the tires with the Yankees. And so basically, I mean, he kind of reached out to the Yankees saying, hey, listen, like, I'm a New York boy. Loved you guys growing up as a kid. I kind of want to go back and play for you guys. And then the Yankees apparently are interested in signing him. So, I mean, there could be some sort of deal there. But the Chicago thing, I don't know why that didn't work out for him.
And that's Stroman's MO, right? Like, that's always been his MO. He's a part of the Players Association, but he has no problem being independent of MLB. Like, he works hard for promoting Marcus Stroman. And I can't fault him on that. You know, some people it rubs the wrong way, and others, You know what? At the end of the day, though, you can never say he's never been a competitor.
No.
So for me, I want him in my staff. He does things that rub you the wrong way you don't like. But at the end of the day, he competes and he competes and he competes.
Oh, he's a workhorse.
You're darn right.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a guy that a lot of teams, I think, would love to have him on their team. Like you said, I mean, obviously, he's a guy that's up and down as to what you're going to get in terms of personality.
And probably in the clubhouse, too.
His performance on the field speaks for itself, man. That's a guy that's been a quality number two for majority of his MLB career. So, I mean, if the Yankees can go out there and grab him, I think that that's a fantastic signing.
I think it's great. No question. And good for him to be honest and just go ahead and reach out. Hey, you know what? He's done that all the way back to his Blue Jays days. When he started in the MLB, man, like, hey, I'm from the Bronx or whatever and that. I'm in that area, Queens, I think it is. And hey, let's get her done. I'd love to pitch for the Yankees at some point in time. So maybe it's going to come to fruition for him.
And then we got, obviously, some trades from the past week. So obviously you get Robbie Ray. That was probably the biggest headliner over the past week. Robbie Ray, obviously, had Tommy John last year. Gets traded down to the San Francisco Giants for Mitch Haniger, going back to the Seattle Mariners. And Anthony DeSclafani and cash considerations as well. So Anthony DeSclafani, obviously, a couple years ago, 2021, had a fantastic year. Past 2 years, battled the injury, hasn't been quite the same pitcher. But, I mean, he's going to be a guy that realistically won't be relied on to be a 1, 2, or 3 in that Seattle pitching rotation. Like, you're looking at the rotation there, and Seattle's basically set, depending on kind of how they want it to be. He could be their number 5 or a long reliever guy, basically a swing man. And then Mitch Haniger, obviously, had success with the Seattle Mariners, went down to San Francisco. I think he is a San Francisco area boy. So, I mean, that was a move that made sense to him. And then, obviously, Seattle familiarity with that. They wanted the right-handed guys to come back that had high contact. I mean, he was a guy familiar with the area, familiar with the team. It's a good move, I think.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in the second segment, Dirtbag. So settle in, get your drink again, and we'll be right back here in a minute.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair, when you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. And before the break, we were talking about the Robbie Ray trade for Haniger and DeSclafani and cash consideration, or, well, not consideration, cash as well. So at the end of the day, it ended up being a wash. You know, good move by the Mariners because they're still in a competitive mode and still rising. They've got to get back. They missed out by, what, a game at the end of the day last year going to the playoffs. Snuck into the wild card 2 years ago, beat the Jays, made it through. Didn't work out this year or whatever, even with Julio Rodriguez's great ride from the trade deadline on. But, you know, good trade, I think, for both. The Dodgers are where they are in the NL West. San Francisco hasn't been able to, we've talked about it several times, hasn't been able to make things happen for free agents, especially on the pitching side of things. Haven't been able to get that done yet. Still a lot of offseason left. There's still work to be done, but I think I like it for them. Gives them a good lefty. If Robbie Ray can come back healthy, and he's a workhorse too. He knows how to look after the body and get it done. Former Cy Young pitcher. That's going to be a nice tandem with Logan Webb. Then also you got Alex Cobb. You got some good young pitchers there. I like the move for San Francisco. You know, I like it for the Mariners, but it's more, to me, it's more just comfortability with Haniger. They know what he has. But again, he's had some injuries. DeSclafani, the same thing. Injured the last few years, every year. Again, you don't need him to be a workhorse in that staff. They've got lots of pieces, but you need him to be healthy wherever you slide him in. And that's important. So I don't know how that trade shakes out. For me, I like it for the Giants in the long term.
The Giants, well, the Giants taken, in my opinion, a huge risk on this one because Robbie Ray obviously underwent the Tommy John last year. So, I mean, he won't be ready until probably at the earliest, right around June 1st. So you're getting a little bit of risk, obviously, involved in that one.
And you got Cobb out till about then as well, or whatever. But the other side, like we said, right, if you're close to a wild card, if you can figure out how to get to the wild card, the Diamondbacks proved it last year. And there's teams every year in that wild card slot that seem to come through. The Philadelphia Phillies 2 years ago.
Just face the Dodgers in the first round. You're guaranteed to make it through, basically.
So I get what you're saying. I mean, it is a risk or whatever. But on the other side of it, if things are ticking and moving along for them, and they're in a bit of that great position, hey, boy, come July, all of a sudden you got Cobb and you got Robbie Ray coming back. That's like two big trade deadline pieces coming. So it could be just a fantastic deal for them. But good for them to at least make that move.
Sticking with the Seattle Mariners, also acquired Luke Raley last week for Jose Caballero. Luke Raley obviously had a breakout year last year with the Tampa Bay Rays. His first full big league season, hit .249, .333 on base, and a .490 slug. 19 homers, 49 RBIs, 14 stolen bases, split time between all three outfield spots, first base and DH. Obviously a move that gives the Seattle Mariners, I'd say, more a platoon player, a guy that kind of piggybacks off of that Mitch Haniger trade that we just talked about, a guy that obviously can fill in at all the spots, play a little DH. He'll just do everything right there. So, I mean, it's an interesting move, obviously, considering they just signed Mitch Garver there earlier in the offseason, too, to pair with the big boy. And, I mean, it's going to be one of those ones that I hope it works out, but he's a one-year wonder.
I think he's a tough kid, and I think he's really matured well. Again, I mean, that Tampa Bay organization does things right, right? And so he's going to bring a little bit of that over as well, that experience, that knowledge. I like the fact that he steals some bases. Good, good depth piece. I think it's a good depth piece for the Mariners. I like it.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's going to mash righties. Last year, I mean, what did he do against righties? 834 OPS, 17 bombs, 47 RBIs compared to 741 OPS, two homers and 43 plate appearances against lefties. So obviously it's a good move in terms of when they're facing right-handed guys. Like I said, he's going to be a nice platoon piece. And then sticking with the Tampa Bay Rays, obviously, you get another trade that they were involved in. Josh Palacios from the St. Louis Cardinals for Andrew Kittredge. Andrew Kittredge was former All-Star reliever back in 2021. He's going to be a nice piece for the Cardinals bullpen. Due about $2.3 million is kind of his projected arbitration numbers right now. Palacios, obviously one of those guys that never really panned out with the Cleveland Guardians, got traded to the Cardinals for cash considerations last year, ended up being a good piece down the stretch. I mean, he had a nice little run there. Obviously, St. Louis Cardinals fans immediately started speculating, oh my goodness, why would you trade another outfielder to the Tampa Bay Rays after the Randy Arozarena debacle of a trade, let's be honest. And, I mean, Palacios isn't going to be that type of guy. But, no, he did have a nice run with the Cardinals. Like I said, Kittredge underwent Tommy John a couple years ago, then last year came back, pitched to the tune of a 3.09 ERA, 1.2 whip, and 11.2 innings, and helped the Tampa Bay Rays obviously reach the postseason.
I think it's a trade for both teams, right? Areas of strength on both sides. Everybody knows Cardinals got pretty decent depth in the outfield. Develop everybody, but especially pitchers. Yeah. So I think it works well for both teams. And again, it goes, no team really loses. Depth piece, hey, those are type of moves that you got to look into and you got to work on and get them done.
And then obviously right now the reports on kind of what the White Sox are asking for Dylan Cease, obviously, he's probably the biggest trade market starting pitcher that we know is available to this point. Basically, the Chicago White Sox are asking for multiple high-end prospects and possibly even a major league player. So, I mean, that one's going to be a tough pill to swallow. Like, Dylan Cease, realistically, you don't know what you're going to get. Obviously, his stuff is fantastic. 2 years ago was the runner-up in the Cy Young voting. But for his career, he's been basically a just under sub-4 ERA pitcher to the tune of 3.8. Got 2 years left on his arbitration. Right now, his number is projected to be about $8.8 million for this upcoming season. And then, obviously, a team holds him after this year. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what the White Sox do with the Dylan Cease, especially with the fact that last year he did not have a good year. Like, he had a 4.58 ERA, 214 strikeouts, which was nice, in 177 innings. But, I mean, overall, it wasn't the same year, obviously, as what they got 2 years ago. So I think teams are going to be hesitant to try and meet that requirements for what the Chicago White Sox are asking. But at the same time, I mean, if the White Sox are smart, realistically, what they'll do is they'll trade them at the deadline and get the haul that they deserve.
Yeah, that's a risk too, though. I think everybody out there listening, you know, if you know Dylan Cease, high-end potential, there's no question about it. But like you said, a lot of reversion in the numbers last year. Obviously, underlying factors, you got a young kid trying to carry a team more, putting pressure on himself, I have to believe. But I bring in the risk factors because, again, you can't look inside the body, as we always say. So you really don't know. Looks great, looks healthy, probably is healthy. But boy, I'll tell you what, I mean, you got to look at moving him between now and the end of spring training. If he looks good in spring training, do everything in your power to move him, I think, at that time. Because, God, something goes sideways and he gets injured, then you're really in trouble. And you're really stuck. It sets you back a year or two, too, right? And again, tough to forecast all that type of stuff. But that is my fear factor for if I'm sitting here right now. I'm definitely continuously visiting any team that has been interested in him, kicking tires and making sure we got communication going on and seeing if a deal can get done. If not, then you're right. You got to revert back to the other thing. But when you revert back to the trade deadline, it can work for you, but it can also decrease value because now you're down to a year and a half instead of 2 years. Right now, the trading team has 2 years of arbitration eligibility with him.
So one last thing I kind of want to touch on for this segment before we get into the actual good conversation that Kirk and I want to have. You get Michael Brantley, MLB vet of 15 years, retiring. So he retires to the tune of 5 All-Stars, 298 average, 355 on base, 439 slug, 129 home runs, 348 doubles, 125 stolen bases, 720 RBIs, and basically about 1,500 games throughout his MLB career. But yeah, in the past two seasons, he was limited to only 79 games. due to multiple injuries. And basically he said, listen, it's time for me to be home 24/7, watch my kids grow up and not miss the important milestones. So, I mean, Michael Brantley, obviously fantastic player throughout his career, highly regarded amongst teammates and everything like that. Great clubhouse guy. Obviously tons of speculation across basically every team that has existed in baseball for where he could potentially land whenever he became a free agent because of those factors, right? I mean, he was a left-handed hitter that, well, I'd love to see what his clutch numbers were throughout his MLB career, because, man, that guy, it seemed like whenever there was a big moment, he never shied away from it and always seemed to drive in that clutch run.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised when I saw that come out this week that he retired. I understand what you said and what the reports are or whatever, and that absolutely family is a big, huge proponent. More so for some players than others. Whether you agree with it or you don't, that's the reality of it. But I'll tell you what, it's a tough year to make that decision, because you hit the nail on the head, a left-handed batter with teams needing big, high, let's go ahead and say high-end left-handed hitters this year. Blue Jays, for example. That's why Cody Bellinger's been talking about a lot. Now, obviously, they're different players, Michael Brantley and Bellinger, but still, left-hander, knows how to hit, obviously, tremendous hitter, gets the job done. He's not going to put the home runs up like a Bellinger or whatever and that, but it's just a tough year because there's teams out there that need great left-handed hitters in their lineups. So, but total respect for him. If he can go and do that, I think he really did love being with the Houston Astros too. I think that was another part of it. And maybe Houston just said, look, we got to move on, Michael. We love you. We'll bring you into the fold. We'll put you in the system somewhere when you want to come back and be a part of Major League Baseball, but we don't have a spot for you on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him either going to Cleveland or Houston's front office in the next couple of years. Obviously, I mean, he just said that he wants to spend family time and everything like that, but at the same time, that's an MLB guy. He's just an MLB guy through and through. But Dirtbags, we'll be right back here for the curtain call questions.
This report is sponsored by IBM. Oil and gas companies are constantly adapting to a rapidly changing landscape. IBM's Institute for Business Value surveyed 2,000 executives in 25 countries for the Digital Energy Company of the Future study. What they learned is that price volatility, aging infrastructure, and more are in a balancing act with increased customer expectations and disrupted ecosystems. Phil Spring, IBM Consulting Energy and Resources Leader.
For these companies, this is about transitioning to a future of low-carbon energy and products, but it is also about value and profit, as well as purpose. So of the companies that we surveyed, what we refer to as visionary vanguards, they are taking transformative action. They're using digital technologies and data, and they're integrating sustainability into their investment cases to help transform to the digital energy company of the future.
If oil and gas companies stay focused on implementing data-based decision-making, embedding AI and automation in the business, and aligning sustainability goals with digital transformation, they will be on their way to becoming the digital energy companies of the future. To learn more, visit ibm.com/IBV.
Progressive presents an ad from mom.
Hello? Is it on?
Oh, okay.
Bundle your home and auto insurance with Progressive and get protection round the clock. Round the clock? Does this generation even understand what round the clock means? But don't come, I'm just saying, because don't come to me when they ask for to do this over, because the kids won't get it.
Get round the clock protection when you bundle and save with Progressive. It's easier than getting your mom to make this radio ad. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Now, during Staples' Print Big Sale, get $20 off your print purchase of $100 or more, $50 off your print purchase of $200 or more, and $100 off your print purchase of $300 or more. So the more you print at Staples, the more you save. To demonstrate, print at Staples, you save. But if you print at Staples, you save. See how that works? Staples Print Big Sale. Print more, save more. Up to $100. Ends 2/10. Visit staples.com/print for details.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8 Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. Time for the curtain call questions. Nolan, Marlins making an interesting move, hiring Rachel Bolkovec as Director of Player Development. Thoughts?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I'm kind of surprised that she's no longer a manager in the Yankees farm system. Obviously, she spent the past 2 years there as a manager with the single-A affiliate, the Tampa Tarpons. Kind of the way that she's worked her way through baseball in various different roles and everything like that after graduating from college. Obviously, she had a decorated college career in softball and then went overseas to get her master's degree in Netherlands. She was obviously the first woman to become a manager at any sort of affiliated level. And based on all reports, I mean, it sounded like she really loved her job. She was obviously doing a fantastic job with it. Now she becomes the director of player development, like you said, with the Miami Marlins. I think it's going to be a huge career change, considering she primarily focused on strength and conditioning with the St. Louis Cardinals. And then I can't even remember what her other organization was after the Cardinals before she joined the Yankees. But she's done a couple of different jobs with a few different teams. Now, obviously, this is going to be a huge role for her to fill because the Miami Marlins, let's be honest, man, they got a lot of young pitching prospects that are very highly touted. Her job is going to be to try and promote those position players to the major league level in-house because obviously Miami Marlins, they don't typically operate on the threshold that the upper-level MLB teams do. Like, I'm talking over $150 million plus, but it's going to be a huge ask for her to come in there and try and get some of those minor league players up to the major league level within their own system.
Kyme Bloom to the Cardinals. Filler situation, as they do with a lot of former general managers. Serious situation. Thoughts?
No, I mean, this was an interesting one. Obviously, it's been highly reported since the offseason kicked off and the St. Louis Cardinals, they're pretty much tabbed right away for being interested in Kyme Bloom. Obviously, they got it finalized this week. And, I mean, it's one of those ones where I think it's just a good perspective for an outsider coming in. And the biggest thing that I'm taking away from it is he's possibly going to replace John Mozeliak in either a year or 2 years whenever Mozeliak's contract is up. So he's obviously a guy, like we said, not tons of success, but had success with the Boston Red Sox after he took over, 2001, I believe, or sorry, 2021, after he left the Tampa Bay Rays organization. John Mozeliak, obviously, he tabbed him very early to be an advisor for the special advisor, basically the role that he's going to be filling in for. And, I mean, realistically, every team just likes that fresh, different perspective from an outsider's point of view. I mean, obviously, you saw the Los Angeles Dodgers. They were like the first team that I really know of to bring in a bunch of high-end executives to be advisors to the general manager, whatever sort of position it was at that point in time with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Andrew Friedman, I mean, obviously he was a smart guy, but you're looking at it, right? Like Alex Anthopoulos and guys like that. They went over, did a year or two with the Los Angeles Dodgers before obviously going to be a GM in some other organization and took the same philosophies with them. So I think it's a fantastic move. Obviously, Kyme Bloom, like I said, tons of success, and he's been doing it for almost 20 years in various roles between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Boston Red Sox.
Let's turn our vision on to this year's offseason team of the year. Los Angeles Dodgers. 1 year, Teoscar Hernandez. I can't believe that he does 1 year. I can believe that he goes to the Dodgers, but I think there's a player that can get a multiple-year contract or whatever in that, but what are your thoughts?
Now, here's the thing that pisses me right off about this whole damn offseason is the fact that they're going to defer $8.5 million more. And I get that MLB allows you to defer money. Sure, I do. But, like, end of the day, man, I was looking at it. And between 2029 and 2040, the contracts of Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and obviously now Teoscar Hernandez is going to be almost $900 million. What, as another MLB organization, sure, I get that you can do that. Like I said, other teams have done it. Obviously, the New York Mets are paying, what is it, $1 million and change to
Bobby Bonilla
until, what, 2035 or something like that?
Yep.
Every candidate day? And you're like, well, sure. I mean, Chris Davis, obviously, he's another situation where he's getting paid, I think, like the third most or the third highest salary. Ken Griffey, like we talked about last year, I think he was either the second or the third highest contract on the Cincinnati Reds organization last year, which is hilarious to think about. But I mean, obviously teams do it. But still, at the end of the day, when you hear almost $900 million deferred between four players, it's like, what the heck? Now, Teoscar Hernandez, jumping back to your actual question, I think it's a fantastic signing. Obviously, he's a guy that had success with the Toronto Blue Jays. High strikeout guy. Let's call it what it is. I would have loved to seen a Justin Turner or JD Martinez go back to the Los Angeles Dodgers, obviously, because I think that they're a better DH fit for that organization. But Teoscar Hernandez, I think he's going to slide in primarily as a DH with the ability, obviously, to play left field. And he'll be a good offensive piece in that lineup. He'll slide into the 6 or 7 hole, wherever he's going to bat in that lineup. He'll do fine. He'll get his 20-plus home runs, right around 80-plus RBIs, probably hit about 270, 280, somewhere in that range. Like you said, I'm kind of surprised he didn't get a multi-year deal.
So $900 million deferred, that's as much as some teams are worth in the MLB presently.
I think just the
Justin
Marlins.
Deferred. So, okay, the Marlins, one team.
Yeah.
That's worth one team in deferred money. So let's talk about this then. Okay. And there's been lots of questions in and lots of inquiries from all you dirtbags. So thank you very much about it and stuff like that. So we will dig a little deeper in it. So last few off seasons, teams have waited until after the new year. Some teams jump in just like the Cardinals did. The Blue Jays have done it in the past. A lot of teams wait until after the new year to settle in and start filling out rosters. Do you think it's as simple as that right now? Or do you think that what the Dodgers have done this year has totally changed the minds and thinking of teams, because you're seeing these one-year deals, two-year deals, short-term deals. Bellinger's not getting anything. Chapman's not getting anything. Not saying they won't get them. There's a lot of other good free agents out there still left to fill out rosters and create great teams. But how much do you really think it's impacted? For me, it's been a game changer this year in what they've done and what has happened with MLB baseball and being able to defer all this money. And we saw it yesterday come out of California. What is it? The general counsel or something like that. Even said, more or less, he didn't say it like that, but it was almost like, if you don't want to take care of business yourself, MLB, I'm going to take care of it as the state of California and say, this is ridiculous. We can't do this anymore. We cannot have deferred money anymore, or at least to that threshold.
Yeah, and I mean, Shohei played the situation as well as you can play it. He understood, okay, hey, listen, I'm basically going to save about $100 million in taxes if I defer all this money and move back to Japan by the time my contract's over. Like, it was a genius play by Shohei. I got no problem with what he did.
Yeah.
It's the fact that the Dodgers themselves did all this, and I 100% agree with the counselor. Now, that being said, to answer your question, I think it's a 33% thing. And the reason why I'm saying 33% is because I believe there's three different factors in this. Obviously, you had the Los Angeles Dodgers doing the nonsense that they were doing. I mean, it was complete BS to me. But like I said, it's a part of the game. Sure. You can do it. I get that. Yeah, absolutely. The other third is going to be the fact that you had such an absurd amount. And I'm saying absurd because normally there's like one or two Asian guys that'll come over and they'll sign a major league contract. Now, this year, I think there was about 5 or 6 guys that were all pretty highly touted. Now, obviously, the relievers didn't get the type of money that I think a lot of people were expecting them to get. But the starters did. I mean, Shota took, he got his money. Obviously, Yoshinobu, he was the headliner. He got his money. Shohei, obviously, not an Asian guy. obviously haven't played in the major leagues, but I mean, still, there was that contract that everybody was like, okay, well, we need to see where he falls in order to kind of fit in where we can go balance-wise on our roster. So that's what I'm saying, 33% that, because, like, let's be honest, when you see the Dodgers just frontline in their whole entire staff, their roster, like, that's a good roster, don't get me wrong. So that immediately detracts NL teams from signing, like, these quality players, even though it to me it's bass-ackwards, because you shouldn't do that. But the AL, like, I'm surprised that they haven't made moves, because the AL won't face the Dodgers until the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, overall, that's right. Like we've talked about before, right? The Baltimore Orioles are laughing now. They don't need to make that emergency move for a Dylan Cease or some of the out there, or sign a Jordan Montgomery right away or whatever it is. They can sit back and watch everything unfold a little bit. So for me, two things. You're exactly right. I mean, we're used to seeing, absolutely, from the player's side of things, you want to get higher payments all the single time, or every single time. I think this is adversely worked against them in this year because of what you're saying. I think the other teams are just sitting there going, like, this is just so far beyond our reach that we're not even going to bother. We're just going to say status quo and ride this through, see if there's injuries to the Dodgers, see if they win World Series, see what happens, because we can't even begin to compete with $500 million of worth of investment with players. We're not even in that ballpark. But on the other side of it, that's right. The players now, I'm seeing them settle for 1 year, 2 years, smaller deals, and struggling to get deals. Cody Bellinger, I don't think he gets a 10-year deal now. I didn't like him getting a 10-year deal at the first of the offseason, but that was another story or whatever in that. Second to that, I sit there, and we were talking about it today, Nolan. Artie Moreno publicly put the Los Angeles Angels up for sale 2 years ago at this point in time, put them on the market. We never heard one thing about anybody, and they have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani on their team at that point in time. And there's not one person out there that put in a serious bid for them, a serious negotiation for them. There's a lot of people paying attention to what's happening or whatever in that. And obviously, there's a lot of billionaires out there that are going, hey, I'd love to be a part of the fraternity, boys, but you just don't have your house in order. It's getting a little bit reckless here. And you're right. It's in the code. It's in the agreement that they can defer money. But boy, I'll tell you what, it's come back to backlash on them. And not only the teams, but the players as well. You're just not seeing those contracts being out there.
Well, even that, though, like you said, like the Artie Moreno thing, now that Shohei Ohtani contract is officially off the books, he's no longer a member of your team. I think it's going to be interesting to see how he approaches the team going into this year, whether he's more serious about trying to sell the team or whether he just stays as the owner of it going forward. Obviously, you still have the Mike Trout contract on the books and everything like that.
I think it hurts buyers.
Yeah.
I think it, for any team, whether it's the Angels or for any team, if they were looking to sell a team right now or whatever, and I'm sitting there going, whoa, wait a minute. I got to compete with this absurdity? This is absurd.
Yeah, but I mean, still, at the end of the day, like you said, it's a team that's worth over $1 billion. You know, it's in Anaheim. Every sport over the past 20 years has gone up astronomically in terms of value and everything like that. And once TV deals get settled for a majority of teams, obviously with Bally going bankrupt and everything like that, it's a no-brainer if you're trying to become an owner and you have that type of money that you can spend it for them to still buy the team. Because like we said, I mean, it's still Anaheim. You still got Anthony Rendon, if he can ever get healthy and play a full season with them, tons of potential there. Mike Trout, same boat. So, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what happens.
Dirtbags, can't thank you enough for sending in your curtain call questions, but more importantly than that, the passion with which you send it in to us. We love it. That's what it's all about. Continue to send in your curtain call questions. Continue to reach out to us for about the MLB, about training inquiries, whatever it is. And we're happy to talk about it all day long, and that's what it's all about. So we will be right back here with Nolan's final thought.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491. Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. That's 800-211-6008.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. Nolan, give me your final thought.
Yeah, so obviously this episode we haven't talked about the Hall of Fame yet, so I want to talk about that for my final thought. Currently you have Mr. Adrian Beltre at 98.6%, which, I mean, that blows my mind at the fact that he's not going to be 100% vote getter. Obviously, he's a guy that's going to get in on his first ballot and probably the only one out of the crew to get in on his first ballot. After that, you got Todd Helton, 83%, Joe Mauer, 84%, Gary Sheffield, 75.3%. So right now, he's in the Hall of Fame, and Billy Wagner, 79.5%. Also highly tracking are Carlos Beltran, who's at basically 70%, and Andrew Jones, who's at basically 70%. There's a possibility that there could be seven Hall of Famers this year. I don't know when there were seven Hall of Famers in my entire lifetime. I'd never, actually, that have been inducted into the Hall of Fame. Like, there's an outside chance that we could get seven Hall of Fame players in this year's class. I hope it happens, man. Even five. If we get five, that's incredible. I hope Sheff gets in. Obviously, it's his last year. Andrew Jones and Carlos Beltran, they still have a couple of years left, at least on their respective Hall of Fame candidacy. But, I mean, man, that would be huge to get five guys in with the possibility of seven.
Build another wing or raise the roof. Cooperstown could have seven strong coming, like Nolan said. So who knows, Dirtbags? Who knows how it'll unfold? But that's exciting at this point in time because, yeah, you're right. Usually it's down to three people where you're kind of like, okay, yeah, and it might end up with two at the end of the day and stuff like that. We've just gotten used to it. So it's super exciting. That's probably one of the highlights of the offseason so far or whatever. And again, we got 2 weeks to, well, not quite 2 weeks, but, you know, January 23rd, we'll all know at the end of the day. So Dirtbags, cannot thank you enough for being a part of the show, being a part of the nation, wherever you are out there listening. You know we do it for you. We cannot do it without you. So thanks again to our guys over at the Rip Grip Pro. Thanks again for the rope trainer, guys. You can go to our website, dirtbagbaseballnation.com, to get your own rope trainer, our apparel, merchandise, whatever you want. Contact us for training questions, inquiries, guest speaking, whatever you want. We're here for you. That's what it's all about. That's what we live, breathe, and die to do every single day. Make no mistake about it. Be sure to follow us on YouTube at Dirtbag Baseball Nation for all our videos. And wherever you are in the world, have a fantastic week, because baseball is what it's all about, man. Be excited no matter what's going on. Unfortunately, it is that time. It's time to get up, get after it, and get dirty. Nolan, do what you do.
Hey, thanks for listening once again, Dirtbag. Stay tuned, because it's going to be a hell of a ride.